Welcome to the Wildcast Podcast, coming to you from Wildcast Studios with your hosts, Adam Lund and Jeremy Boucher.
Welcome back to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast Podcast, your unofficial voice for all things Moncton Wildcats. And not only are we on the podcast tonight, we are trying this Instagram live thing. Welcome to everyone that is tuning in. Again, if you can't tune in on live, you will be able to download this starting tomorrow. As you can see, I am Adam. I am joined, as always, by my co-hoster, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
Hello, Adam. How are you?
I'm all right. Yourself?
So wager on who looks at the camera first.
Well, I already did, but...
Starting now.
Okay.
It's like, who blinks first, but who looks at the camera first?
Probably me, but
okay.
If there's anyone there, we have no idea.
As long as I get to stare in your beautiful eyes, I'll be the champion.
Oh, I appreciate you. Trade deadline in the NHL is come and gone. You happy with the Flames? Did you think they'd do more work?
Typical Brad Tree living moves, depth defenseman, and then surprisingly, literally went out and got a power play quarterback, which was, I thought was a big shock, and didn't pay much for it too. So, I was happy, and, you know, they're Gustafson, I think, out of Chicago. I think he's literally starting as their PP1 tonight.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously he's kind of getting that treatment already. So, I couldn't be more happy.
And with Gio, they don't actually know how long he's going to be out, do they?
He's game time decision for tonight.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah, Edmonton went out and got finally got Connor a winger, which is good to see. Anthony Seau, and then they shocked everyone by grabbing Mike Green, but I think that's just more of a power play defenseman for the second unit. There you go. You looked first.
Well, I saw I'm not on the camera anymore, so that's what I was looking over at. So
you're not on the camera anymore?
No.
What?
It's just my microphone. That's okay.
That's not good. We got to have you on the camera.
That's all right.
No, well, whatever.
It's a good thing I'm not on the camera.
Yeah, went out and got Mike Green to alleviate some of the power play from Klefbom, allow him not to play so many minutes, and then went and got Tyler Ennis, a nice bottom six forward. So they addressed everything that that Ken Holland wanted to. So Mass Singer, got to get into that.
Yeah, we have to do our weekly update.
Yeah.
So we saw it was the first week of the new group, right?
Yes.
And we saw Tony Hawk was the...
I had no idea.
He was an elephant, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was an elephant. I kind of had a feeling it was kind of someone that was extreme sport related, but I couldn't get the name and... You know, that's usually how it goes in the first episode, right? Because you don't get as many clues. So you're kind of sitting there wondering who the hell this guy is. And yeah, so it was just like the first week on the debut. It was Lil Wayne, right?
Yeah.
So nobody guessed Lil Wayne. So I think I've kind of got an idea on who a couple of these new singers are.
Yeah.
So I forget who they are. Like, I can't remember the characters right now.
There's the mouse. There's the frog.
Right. The taco.
The taco,
I think, is Bob Saget.
Yeah.
You mentioned Dave Coulier, which is another possibility. I see, you know.
Because I remember last year, the ladybug, I think, that was Osborne, Kelly Osborne.
Mm-hmm.
I was sure that was, and I can't think of her real name, Stephanie from Full House.
Right, yeah.
Because everything in that first clue package was San Francisco, Giants, blah, blah, blah. And then I think there was even a weather thing in there. So I'm like, that's got to be... That was way off, but Bob Saget or Dave Coulier makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, because they had the San Francisco trolley,
yeah.
And then they had the those old VHS cassette tapes. So that could be a hint for you know, America's Funniest Home Videos. So that's
or Full House was done in the time of the VCRs.
That's it too.
Yeah.
So I think the video cassettes are put there to make it obvious that it's to try to make people think it's America's Funniest Home Videos. So we'll see how it goes. Another one I think is, I can't remember who it is, but all the judges thought it was an older singer, but I think it's Kate Hudson.
That's
the mouse,
I think. Yeah.
So I think it's Kate Hudson, because, you know, it was kind of set on a football field. She was in Glee. You know, the pom-poms were gold. She was in Fool's Gold. So I think one of the clues was 1979. She was born in 1979. So that's where I'm picking up on that one.
I think that's the one I went with, Christian Chenoweth. Mm-hmm. because I just, for the, a lot of the same reasons, she's been in, she's been on Glee. She's been, she's quite in, you think the kitty is, no, the kitty isn't. It's the mouse, right?
I think, I forget who it is now. I'll have to watch it again.
Okay.
Yeah. I came, I wasn't prepared for this, for these questions.
No,
I wasn't. I should be, but I'm not.
Because you watch it and then come the next week, you're like, oh yeah, that's who it could be. So, but yeah, that's our pop culture references for the show. Don't forget, you can follow the Wildcast Podcast on Twitter or Instagram. And we just hit our 500th follower on Instagram, Drew Cormier. Thank you. And search us on Facebook, Wildcast Podcast. So we were going to go do news and notes around the league. Now we're going to get into, I switched that. Let's get into the quick questions because the Wildcats award nominees came out. You can go to the Wildcats website, vote for them. We're going to go through a few of these. Maybe not everyone. Let's go with unsung hero. Mika Seer, Tristan DeYoung, or Gabriel Forche?
I have to go with Tristan DeYoung.
Okay.
He's so like, you just don't notice him. And that's a good thing.
Right.
But, you know, like a Mika Seer or Gabe Forche, they're noticeable every time you're on the, you know, every game, right? They're always out there. They're, you know, they're in the corners battling. They're hitting the score sheet. But, you know, Tristan DeYoung has just had one of those quiet seasons, putting up respectable numbers. But I think the hockey word is quiet.
Yep.
Having a quiet season.
Yep.
Which is exactly what he's having. You know, he's dropping gloves when he's had to, and you know,
big hits.
Yeah, big hits. Held his own in these fights too. So I see him as being a, you know, a very important piece of the team next year. Possibly wearing a letter. Actually, I could very well see him wearing a letter next year.
Yep.
So he's that important to the team.
Yeah, I think I go Mika Seer just because he's been able to stay so healthy and he's been up and down the lineup. That I mean. He is putting up the points, which you expect him to do, but, you know, he started on the line with McKenna, and then now he's gone down to the third line. He's played some fourth line, some penalty kill minutes. And coming into this show in general with you and Chris last year, his health was a big criticism. And like he didn't stay healthy all that much. So it for him to stay healthy, and I would give it to him, but I can totally see Tristan DeYoung winning it. You know, hopefully Seer stays healthy. I guess the one that we've talked about the most through this year, most improved player, Daou, DeYoung, and Sean Stewart. And we both can make cases for our guys, right?
Sorry.
No worries.
Trying to stay thirsty there. Yeah, so
you got it. Sean Stewart for me. Just from last year, like from last year to this year, and I know this award is probably within season, but from last year to this year, you know, Sean Stewart was playing 5-6 defenseman, was playing limited minutes. Sometimes the game looked a bit too much for him, too fast, too quick. I mean, in the playoffs, he played with a big injury in that first Baikomo series, but so that could have been a contributing factor. But I think coming into this year, you weren't sure what he was going to be, especially if we made trades and the back end needed to be helped out. And, you know, he's just been, like you say, quiet. You don't hear about him. He's another guy just like DeYoung. He puts up, you know, big hits, stands up for teammates, drops the gloves. You know, for me, he's been a steady force on that back end, and I think him and DeYoung could both be in line for letters next year, anchoring a very young defensive core. So if I go from last year to this year, I go with Sean Stewart.
If I'm basing it on just this season, I'm going with Daou. He's a totally different player in the second half. You know, he's getting noticed by NHL teams. You know, obviously this is his first year of eligibility because he is, you know, considered a late birthday, for the NHL draft. And, I think it was Craig Eagles that reported a few weeks ago that he's spoken to 5 or 6 NHL teams, which is absolutely crazy. Like this, you know, this is a 17-year-old who, or a 16-year-old, so I guess he was 17 last year,
right,
playing, you know, in a, you know, the Northern Ontario Junior Hockey League. It's not not one of the more well-known junior A leagues in Ontario. You know, but he gets noticed and comes to Moncton and, you know, has an okay start to the year. You know, obviously I picked him to be the Wildcats Rookie of the Year. Maybe I could have went with a different name, if you know, but, you know, he's really showing right now what I thought he would bring from the get-go. So if it's just based on you know, from start of the season to now, I have to go with Phil Dough.
Yeah, and if it's based on this season alone, then yeah, I 100% concur with that. Rookie of the year, Leroux, Dau, Langlois. I mean, it's
Frank the Tank.
Where's the other one? Outstanding defensive player, Rodrigue, Spence, MacIsaac. I think Jordan Spence. Like,
see, I already voted. I went with Rodrigue. You know, obviously, no offense to Jared MacIsaac, but you know, you've only been here for, you know, a month and a half now. So
yep.
But
he's made a significant impact in the time
he's
been
really
here,
he's
right?
really improved the back end.
We'll get into that in a little bit.
And but I just got to go with Rodrigue. You know, he's had his fair share of really good games. He's also had some down games.
Mm-hmm.
You're an Oilers fan. You can even, you know, agree with that. So there's, you know, but that happens with goalies. Goalies aren't going to put up, you know, it's rare for a goalie to be able to keep a goals against under two for the entire year or save percentage above 950. It's rare. But you know, he seems to step up in the big games.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, down the stretch and getting into the playoffs, that's what we're going to need.
That's, I said Jordan Spence just as a questioning defensive player, but you're 100% right on Olivia Rodrigue. And, you know, Cletus was here as you enjoyed his nickname.
Cletus, Cottontail.
Clint was here, and he said, you know, he's an Oilers fan as well, and he said he saw Bathurst, he saw Halifax, and they saw Rimouski. You know, Rodrigue isn't always tested in those games, so it's tough to gauge what he, like, you know, 3 or 4 goals on 20 shots doesn't, or 18 shots doesn't always look good. But, you know, I said it on Twitter after the Rimouski game. If he's not in that net in that first period, it's 3-4-0. Like, he was able to steady the ship, get that team to intermission at 1-0, and then just be strong. And we saw it against Chicoutimi earlier in the year when he shut him out. Chicoutimi or Sherbrooke?
Chicoutimi. Yeah.
When he shut him out. Like, he rises to the big games. I have no doubt that he's playing Chicoutimi and Rimouski, and we're going to see the best of Olivia Rodrigue in those two games on the road trip. The one that I see a lot on the social media since it come out, MVP. Pelche, Hovanov, Bolgru.
Or you can be like Craig Eagles and write in Jeremy McAdam.
Yeah.
You
can have 4 or 5 people on this list.
Yeah,
like
you're literally could have co-winners or you know, a triple winner, whatever you want to do. It's Hovanov has had just a ridiculous year, though. And, you know, from a player who last year who was, you know, you could get under his skin pretty easily. You know, he would be taken off his game if, you know, somebody started hacking and whacking him. So
yeah,
he's a different player this year. He seems to have matured. He's playing more responsible. He's just a totally different player. He's proving to be an absolute steal of a third round pick by the Minnesota Wild. By all counts, he should have been at least maybe a late first or an early second round pick in that NHL draft. You know, of course, he had a late start to the season, right? Because he was sick. So
yeah,
I mean, that had something to do with it. But he's already signed his ELC. He's earned it. He's just, you know, and I just, even though the games against Halifax, you know, at this part of the season aren't that competitive, it's just funny how many Halifax fans get still annoyed by him.
Yeah, brought out the moose antlers.
Yeah, the moose and they're just still bad talking him on the boards. Like he's, you know, they're living rent free right now, and it's just, you know, that last year, you know, he would have been the one to, you know, maybe the Halifax fans would have took him off his game, but you know, he's the one this season that are kind of being the ones that he's the one. If we weren't live, I would say a word, but
yeah.
He's taking them off this year, so he's a totally different player. He's my MVP.
Yeah, it's he's my MVP of that list. I mean, nothing against Bolgru, but he played half his year in Halifax, 26 games, 41 points. He played 22, 35. And I talked to on Twitter, there's a Minnesota Wild prospect website and stuff, and they're just asking about Havanov and just the step he's taken. And we talked about it earlier this year when McKinnon was gone, and you're like, who's going to replace McKinnon's thing? And I don't think anybody said Havanov. It was all, you're going to have to bring that in. You're going to have to give up assets. I said Pelche would take that next step, which he kind of has. But I think Havanov playing healthy, I don't know if he was 100% healthy last year. I think Torchetti had a bit of an influence on him early on from the Minnesota Wild organization and being an NHL coach. Like, this is what you have to get done. Pelche gets a big nod for keeping him. Like, we can't overlook that. Pelche keeps him under control most times, but he's just been lights out in February. I think it's a landslide. It's Havanov in my book. So, I mean, I understand Jeremy McKinnon being there. He arguably could have been the MVP last year, being fifth in scoring. Havanov's second in league scoring. He's only 12 points behind. No, not 12. Yeah, something like 12. 13 points behind Lafreniere. He missed time in junior, so he could have even more points, right? Like, he might already be at the 100 point if he was here all season. So,
he's going to get there. It's only a matter of time. He's where right now?
88.
He's at 88?
Yeah. So yeah, 11 games left or so.
He should have a fair chance at it. I think I said last week he'd probably get with 100, like right at 100 or 101.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So I think he'll get it.
Yeah. And then the Wildcats came out with a little bit of a different survey. And you thought maybe you should do this one live. I don't see why you shouldn't.
I'll do it. I mean, it's a little different, this one.
I feel like this is a sponsor survey.
Something like that.
Yeah, like the Wildcats sponsors.
So let's see. Complete this survey for a chance to win a pair of tickets to every home game in the playoffs. Okay, so I am between the age of 26 and 35. I identify as a male.
Say what?
I have one child dependent in my household. My family and or I are not really involved in sports activities. Not really. No. I live in Moncton North. I am planning on living where I do for the foreseeable future, planning to move within the next 2 years. I know my wife's watching, so I'm going to go planning to move within the next 1 to 2 years.
Smart.
In a year, on average, I attend 17 to 34 Wildcats games. I'm happy with the current number of games, even though there should be 69 games on the schedule. In the past year, I've also attended the following events at the Avenir Center. Haven't done much, but I'm going to say Canada versus USA rivalry series. Actually, no, I didn't go to that. I went to Canada-Russia, so I'm going to check that one off.
Hmm.
In a week, on average, I order food from a restaurant probably 1 to 2 times. If I eat out, giggity, I normally eat out at takeout fast food restaurants. My favorite hobbies,
how much time you got?
I got, I probably like to travel. What? Am I supposed to rank these?
Oh, yeah, okay. You rank them 1 through 6.
Literally, I don't do any of these things. I work. I'll go exercise and fitness as number 2. I'll say golfing as number 3. I'll say hunting and fishing as number 4. Wow. I'll say motorsports as number 5. And just because I'm a geek, cultural events of number 6. Is this it? Okay. Okay. How likely am I to utilize a local business coupon offering from the Wildcats? Well, I do it all the time, so very likely. In a month, on average, I spend... does that include groceries? Retail shopping?
No.
No? $0 to $75. Frenchies for days. enter your name and phone number, okay? Bob Saget. there we go. Okay. Okay. Done. There we go. Oh, the hobby ones. This question requires an answer. Didn't I already do that one?
I think so.
Oh. Oh, shoot. I didn't put golfing. 1, 2, 3. There we go. Okay. There. That was a survey. Yeah. It's basically just like personal questions.
Yeah.
Which is a little different from what they've done in the past. Because last year was like the all about the rink, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that's, and this is, I understand the survey for your sponsors. But if I see a Wildcat survey and I answer 15 questions for a chance to win a jersey and some tickets, I want the questions to be, what do you like at the arena? What kind of, you know, what about the prices at the arena? How are the ushers at the arena? How's your, you know, game day experience at the arena? Not, where do you live? Are you going to live there forever? Like, and I understand that you'll probably, well, Bob Saget will probably get emails and phone calls from realtors and other coupon stuff. But it just, I went to the survey and I thought that's what I was getting as we go into the playoffs. Like, what can we do in terms of game day experience for the playoffs? And this, and I read it and I'm like, you didn't, like, just tell people that. And I understand they don't tell people so that they click on it and away they go. But yeah, that was a weird survey.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on.
Moving on. One bit of news closer to home. Axel Anderson's rights were dealt. Thanks to our sponsor, Eric Murray. The other day, he just gave me a heart attack by telling me that Axel Anderson had been traded. My brain didn't compute. His rights were traded just before the deadline. Boston sent David Backes, a first-round pick, and Axel Anderson to Disneyland for Andre Kasha. I think I feel this is a good deal for Axel. I think he's got a better shot to play in Anaheim as opposed to Boston, given their standings in the Pacific Division. They've got a few younger-type defensemen, but, you know, Anaheim, if they're known for one thing other than Corey Perry being a jackass, they're known for churning out young, good defensemen. So I think this move for him is a pretty good move.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's obviously a lot more room on the, you know, in Anaheim's organization than Boston's for defense. You never know. This could be an opportunity where next season he gets to go play some hockey for San Diego, the Gulls.
Yes.
Of course, German. San Diego is German.
Yeah.
Of course, meeting a, I'm not going
to
say it.
All right. Good to know. All right, let's get to the Weekly Rewind.
Weekly Rewind.
This hockey club just keeps rolling through. Dozen straight victories, undefeated in regulation in the past 18, 17-0-1. Bringing the record to 44-12-1 for 89 points, increasing their lead to 12 points in the Maritime Division, which I believe 10 points is the magic number still because the Eagles keep winning. And first in the East, which gives us a first-round matchup versus the Remparts. We might as well get to the big one. It was a playoff feel, all the hype, all the superlatives you want to use, a sold-out building, and not many hockey games live up to that. I joked that it's going to be like 7-1 Rimouski just because there was all the hype and the building was sold out and here we go. And nope, it sure wasn't. It was a 4-3 overtime victory. The legend of Jacob Pelche grows. I thought it was a blindside hit. You said it was maybe a high stick. I didn't see it. Like, I saw the guy come close to him, but I didn't know if it was a stick or or a hit. But he went straight to the dressing room. Midway through the third, Layla was like, I haven't seen Jacob Pelche. I'm like, you're probably not going to see Jacob Pelche. Next shift, he comes out just to take a random draw. And much to the chagrin of Rimouski and thinking it was too many men on the ice, he buried it to send 8,000 people home quite happy.
And I think he pulled off every celebration possible. He did the, you know, the jersey tug. Yeah. He did the thing. He did the thing. he did literally every – he just – pulled everything out of the bag, and that's what I love about him. He's like, he's just that type of player, right? He's, but yeah, that was what a shot, right? And he got it off right at the perfect time because, you know, the defender was literally right there,
yeah,
right. The defender's stick was maybe inches away from that puck. If Pelche holds onto that puck for, you know, a millisecond longer, that's deflected up into the crowd. So
I got to wonder if it fooled Ellis a little bit, like maybe a part of the stick.
For sure. Like, you got to think, but it was, you know, the defenseman almost got over there and, you know, caused that shot, not even get on net. So he shot it right at the right moment. And like you said, 7,800 fans. And I think if they, you know, would have closed down the ice bar that night, they probably would have had, you know, that 8,800 mark too.
So glad they didn't, though. That ice bar, when it's full, just looks so much,
so much
better. I mean, there's a few seats in the stands that are empty. You could see, but that the ice bar looks so much cooler when it's full. Like,
absolutely.
It was.
Man, I wish we'd have that lot for a lot more games. You know, we're getting down to crunch time here. So, hopefully some, you know, those fans who, you know, came out to maybe just watch Lafreniere. They weren't there to see the Wildcats. They came to see Lafreniere and they, you know, they realized, wow, this Moncton team is actually really good.
Yeah.
You know, those are the ones you want them. You want to suck those guys in for the playoffs. Guys and girls. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever way. You would have sucked those ones in, you know, for the last part of the season and into the playoffs, because, you know, those are the ones that are going to put butts in the seats, you know, for the second half of the season. So it was good to see, a crowd like that. It was a fun, as, you know, the atmosphere was still a little, could have been better.
Yeah.
From a fan standpoint,
if you were the 40% of ladies and gentlemen that were there to see Lafreniere, did the experience, the full building, did it do enough to bring you back, say, against Quebec or Cape Breton or maybe game one of the playoffs? Like, did it do enough? Because, I mean, we're jaded. We go to almost every hockey game. We understand things are going on. But as a new person in that building with everything going on, do you think that maybe brings back a fan?
I really hope so.
Yeah.
I not just one. I hope it brings back thousands. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a great experience. It was a great atmosphere. The third period was ridiculous.
That's some of the best hockey I've seen all year.
I mean, it was just a different Wildcats team, and it was, I think the crowd sensed it too. They sensed something was going to happen, to you know, have these fans go home happy, and it did. I don't think you'll see another game like that at the Coliseum this season. I mean, obviously playoffs.
Avenir Center.
You
likely will never see a game like that at the Coliseum.
Wow. Can't believe I just said that. So I mean, obviously the regular season's winding down here.
Yeah, 11 games left.
11 games left. You know, all the big Quebec teams have already been through. It's mostly just the Maritime teams. I guess the Ramparts are coming in. Drummondville's coming in.
Yep.
You know, Patrick Waugh could be a good draw for those, you know, the Montreal fans, the diehard Montreal fans that, you know, remember him when he was, you know, one of the greatest goalies of all time. And now head coach of the Ramparts. So he's a draw. Hopefully that game can – I think it's a Friday night. Is that a Friday night?
Saturday night.
It's not even better. So hopefully that's, hopefully we can get maybe a 5,500, 6,000 for that game.
And you got Cape Breton on the Wednesday.
Yeah. So there's some good games left. I don't think that Quebec game will be, close to what that Rimouski game is like, but, a 7,800, crowd, probably not going to see that again until hopefully the
third round,
late second, early third round. That's a tough number to get, but you know, we do have a hockey town, and just really hope that the players step it up in the playoffs and the fans do as well.
I think the positive of having a team that's 17-0-1 is, you know, they're winning and they're great and they're getting first seed and this and that. The negative is, all right, well, we're playing Quebec in round one. That should be easy. I don't need to spend money there. Round two, depending who it is, you worry about. In terms of filling that building there. What do you think of Rimouski? We haven't seen them at all. We see him twice in 10 days. They were everything that was advertised. Two lines. The defense, you know, after Bergeron and Ennis, I can't remember the other guy's name, 94, Mazzucato. I mean, I didn't notice him on the ice. They were all over Moncton. You messaged saying that they clogged the neutral zone. Moncton hadn't seen that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be able to adjust to that coming into Sunday's game. But I mean, they were all over Moncton, up 15-6 in shots. Their power play, 2 of 5. I don't think they would have scored the first one. You can't have self-inflicted penalties like Hudson. But just what were your thoughts on Rimouski? Because I thought they were as advertised, and I don't know if I want to see this hockey club in the playoffs, you know, at all.
To me, they played extremely well.
Because you went from Chicoutimi scared you now to Rimouski scares you. Like, how did that game go for you in terms of a seven game series?
Maybe this was just, I don't know if this is just how they are, but they were really a Jekyll and Hyde team on this road trip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came in, played a phenomenal game against Moncton.
We broke them.
Yeah. And then they go to Halifax the next night and they get shut out 1-0 by the Mooseheads. What?
I think that speaks to both teams because we didn't play that great against Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're playing like high level hockey for 60 minutes, 64, 63 minutes, whatever it was. That's very tough. We at least had a day to recover. To go into Halifax, that's got to be a tough game to play. So, but still, Halifax shutting them out is very Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I was definitely taking an over on that game.
Right? Yeah. Like, yeah, I thought, yeah.
But geez, if you took an under in that game and you took a Halifax win, you made some
money. Yeah. Have you heard from Alex?
I think he was cursing and swearing on Twitter the next day. So no, if you took the under in that game and you took Halifax to win that game, you made some serious coin.
Yeah, you did.
And so I think maybe they played a little over their head. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it just seemed, they seemed like different teams, right? They mm-hmm. had played phenomenal against Moncton, didn't show up against Halifax, and had a mediocre game against Cape Breton.
And lost 4-2 in that
so
one.
So they went 0-3 on this road trip. I don't think anybody would have predicted that. I thought they'd come in, you know, have a good game against Moncton, maybe come out with a win, destroy Halifax, and have a really good game against Cape Breton. But literally every game was the complete opposite of what I felt was going to happen.
Yeah, I think if I had to take it, I thought Rimouski was going to go 2-1.
Yeah.
Beat Moncton in a tight one, pound Halifax, and probably lose to Cape Breton because it was their third and four nights.
And it, complete opposite.
Yeah.
So last week I said they scared me. They still do. I just think they were, I don't know, maybe they had the Moncton game circled on their calendar and just didn't look at, they weren't getting up for the other ones, right? You never mm-hmm. know this stuff, but tough road trip for them. But you know, they're going to bounce back. They're a really skilled team. Their goaltending is, Colton Ellis is a hit and miss to me. I think they have one of the best backup goalies in the entire league. So they make up for it there.
Just trying to see what the shots were with Rimouski and Halifax. Rimouski outshot him 32-21. So, and you know, we talked about it leading up to the deadline. Like, Cole McLaren is one of the top backup goaltenders that you thought would get moved. So, you know, that's a big win for Halifax, especially since they're chasing the final playoff spot.
I think they're 3 or 4 points out right now.
I believe so, yeah.
So,
and Rimouski's basically got the same, almost the same three teams coming in. They got Halifax on the 28th, they got Moncton on the 1st, and then they got Victoriaville. So there's, they've got Chicoutimi on the 7th, which is another big.
I'll make a prediction here. I think that Rimouski Halifax game is going to be a little different.
You figure a little different. Yeah. You know, you never want to be the homer type, but the other thing that scared me, you can't take penalties against that team. And I watched that game again. Cross-checking a guy. Could it have been interference on him? Yeah, maybe he got in his way, but you can't cross-check him. You know, Havanoff's hold was iffy, but you can't put your stick there. I mean, Hudson's was self-inflicted. You can't put it over the net. So is Lafreniere and Rimouski going to get some calls in the playoffs? Probably. But you can't give them the opportunity to do it. Moncton was 1-for-2 on the power play. I thought Jeremy McKenna had, I don't want to say game of the year for him, but I mean, this team needed to have a big third period, and I think just like the which one was it? Just like the 3-3 with Quebec, being one of the signature wins. I think this one coming back, I mean, Rimouski was 28-0-1 leading after two periods. And, you know, everybody in that lineup showed up. And we were both right. McIsaac saw a heavy dose of Lafreniere, and Grew and Forche, Sear and LaRue kind of switched out and saw were the forward group. And I think, I don't know if you'll see a lot of that in Rimouski this Sunday. Moving on to Ren, nothing against this one. It was just a regular game. Cats take it 3-0, franchise record, ninth shutout. The Wildcats look sloppy early on. I don't want to say they look disinterested because that's not the right word, but there was just no emotion in that first 30 minutes, first half of that game. There was nothing. Like, Moncton was fairly lucky that Ren didn't come to play because they should have lost that hockey game, to be honest with you.
I shouldn't say they should have lost a game. I mean, Moncton, I mean, you got to look at the shots. Moncton dominated the first period in shots, 20-6.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, Rouen came, you know, came strong in the second period. But, you know, Moncton still led 1-0 in the scoreboard after the second period. So, I mean, I'm not a hockey genius, but scoreboard, you know, means a lot more than shots. So
that's true.
You know, you win the period on the scoreboard, not the shot clock. So no, I wouldn't say that Rouen Aranda dominated the game. Moncton, you know, doubled them in shots. It was, but you can tell that it just wasn't the same performance as against Rimouski, and we kind of expected that, you and I, because we said last week that we had a bad feeling about this one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously we were wrong. We're wrong half the time, but you know, I didn't know what to expect from Rouen Aranda because.
That's what I was going to go next. Your thoughts on Rouen Aranda?
They can surprise some teams, right? Yep. And they've done their fair share of you know, surprising and upsets this year. And you know, they've got, you know, Mario Pulot behind the bench, Memorial Cup champion. So you know, I expected a little better of a performance, but you know, it was nice to come out with a shutout because. You know, it was. I didn't expect a shutout in that game because you know, Rouen's got a lot of, you know, some good players over there.
Yeah, I liked Iman. You know, just like Rodrigue, if he's not in that game in the first period, it could be 4-5-0. I thought he held him in. I liked Bocage. I thought he might be the. I was surprised he wasn't the captain. Vincent Marlowe was a pretty good player. Like, they've got some good pieces. I think Bocage can come back. He's 19, right?
He's 18.
He's 18? So he's obviously the centerpiece.
Yeah.
So that's probably why he didn't move. You'd have to give up heaven and earth to get him. It was good to see Jack Tucker. Kind of caught me off guard. He was still in the...
Totally forgot about that guy. No, I thought he was way back in Florida somewhere. And
yeah, I know. I went down to take the picture for Instagram and look up, and I'm like, oh yeah, Jack Tucker's on this hockey club. Yeah,
totally forgot about that. Sorry about that, Jack.
Yeah. You played well. Good to see you out there. And then they ended the homestand there. They made it 12 in a row with a 5-1 victory over the Mooseheads. Exploded for four goals in the second. It was nice to see Foreman and Jay Stu get some ice, not based on injury, just give them some ice, keep them going. You know, I like that LaRue made Hunt answer the bell. Nobody got hurt. Everybody was fine. We can move on from that whole issue. But it was just, this is the worst part about, you know, the scheduling that I find now that Moncton's, you know, an elite team, and it'll be the same when Moncton's not an elite team. This last month, you're playing teams like Bathurst, Halifax. I mean, Halifax was doing the same thing last year with Bathurst and St. John. Like, it's tough to get up for these ones, and you're so expected to beat them well that when you beat, you know, if they'd have beat them 2-1, we'd have been like, what's wrong, like what, you know what I mean? Like, I would rather see less Maritime games and maybe see the Quebec, like the Eastern Division, two times 1 year here, two times up there. Like, give us another Eastern Quebec team, right? But I don't make the schedule.
That scoreboard guy in Halifax trying to pull a fast one.
In fairness, Beaugrou used to play there. Doesn't so matter. He might have got confused.
Got to recognize. this stuff's pretty good. Huh?
Yeah. Well, you've gone through two classes, so I would assume it's pretty good. And by this stuff, he means Pink Whitney, hashtag not a sponsor, hashtag not a big deal. So let's get into now the Wildcats going a five-game road trip. They bookend it with two Maritime teams, Halifax, Bathurst. But the big games this week, 3-4, Chicoutimi, Baie-Comeau, Rimouski. It's good that they get a rest before Chicoutimi. It's good that they get that rest before before Baie-Comeau or before Chicoutimi, before Rimouski.
Today, Junior?
I watched that the other night, too, actually.
That Veronica Vaughn.
So hot. I completely forgot what I was talking about because we're talking about Veronica Vaughn. But, no, I think six points, I think four is what you expect.
On this road trip?
Yep. I expect four.
I have a better question for you.
All right.
Let me just do some math here because maybe I should have had this prepared.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Boucher's going to do math.
Yeah. So there's what, 68 games in the season?
Correct.
So we have 11 games left?
Correct.
So 22 points in the table?
Correct.
22 points in the table, 11 games left. What did they get out of that 22?
Let's see, schedule-wise... Eighteen
out of 22.
Yep.
So you're only losing two games the rest of the way.
Yep. You're losing two. You're losing Rimouski on March 1st and Charlottetown, at the end of the year, on the road.
Okay. So that should, by all counts, give us the Eastern Conference.
Should give us Eastern Conference. It'll give us. It should give us the division by the time we get to Cape Breton as well. That game against Cape Breton could be for the division title. But yeah, that's. I think it's 18. I think they beat. You know, to run it down, they beat Chicoutimi, they beat Baie-Comeau, they beat Bathurst, Quebec, Drummondville, Cape Breton, Halifax, St. John, and then the final weekend they lose to Charlottetown and they beat Halifax on the final day of the regular season.
So you see 18 points. I'll say 16.
Okay.
I didn't memorize the schedule, but I think there's going to be a couple of those games
for you.
Oh yeah, there it is. a couple of these games I think will be either overtime losses or shootout losses. So
which is funny because they've only had one shootout game the whole year.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going at. I'm going 16. 16 out of 22.
That's fair. I like that. What do you think on the road trip, though?
On the road trip?
Yeah. Because I got to meet in Chicoutimi and Baie-Comeau and then just in Rimouski, that's going to be a tough game to win. Whether that was the first one or the third.
I think Chicoutimi
and
Rimouski are going to be tough games to win. I'm going to say three. 3 points. Three out of six. Give us at least 50%, and I'll be happy. Hopefully two of those three are against Chicoutimi. So that would help out a good amount.
Yeah.
Because really, you look at it, this is a four-point game.
Correct.
And, you know, Chicoutimi's got two games in hand. They're playing
tonight.
For our live viewers, playing tonight.
For our live viewers, playing tomorrow. Yeah, tonight, yeah.
Yeah. For our listeners, they would have played last night.
Yeah.
Go Gatineau.
Which, they're going to be fired up because they're, what are they?
They got something to play for.
5 points up on Halifax. So
they got something to play for. So, and you know, it's not Tristan Berube. No. Who's a goalie?
Gatineau?
Yeah. Why am I drawing a blank right now?
Not Tristan Berube.
He's in Bathurst.
Yep. It's Remy Poirier and Tommy Da Silva.
Wow. Why did I think they had a better goalie? Are you sure?
Yeah. They had Cree Jones. They traded him.
My God, I thought they had a better goalie. Okay.
Yeah, Remy Poirier and Da Silva, so...
Go Gatineau.
Go Gatineau, yeah.
Wow.
And Halifax has got to flip this thing quickly. 5 points behind Gatineau.
Mm-hmm. There's not much time left.
No, we both said that they'd probably make it. I don't know if we're going to be... I mean, we're not generally right all the time, but...
Oh, we're terrible.
Or at all.
We're terrible.
We're actually better at predicting things in the messaging as opposed to putting it on podcast or whatever.
So. That's true, actually. Just stop predicting things on our group chat and just bring it to the show the next week.
Yeah, 100%. All right, well, it's everyone's favorite time of the show.
Eric Murray Realty. Buy a house from him.
Stick tap of the week.
I didn't realize this show was going so fast. I was unprepared for this segment of the episode. Wow. I thought there was like something else to cover, and then I was going to prepare myself for during that time.
We're right on track, 45 minutes in.
That's it?
Yeah.
All right. I'm coming home, honey! all right. So, sorry. As I said, I was a little unprepared for this, so you'll have to bear with me here a moment as I prepare myself for such things. However, I'll give a kind of talk about it a little bit. Moncton Wildcats draft pick in 2015, 13th round, Brody MacArthur. Had a cup of coffee with the Wildcats in 2017, 2018. By a cup of coffee, I mean he played one game.
Good for him.
Other than that, he has been suiting up with the Summerside Western Capitals of the Maritime Hockey League. During his time with the Summerside Western Capitals, he's put up ridiculous numbers to the point where I believe if he records 1 point on Thursday night, he will take over the Maritime Hockey League all-time scoring lead. And so that's league history. So I like his chances. I really hope I'm giving this stick tap of the week and I don't jinx him.
Right.
Because it would suck for him to kind of sit on that, you know, he's literally tied for the all-time scoring lead and then just needs 1 point to...
Is this the last regular season game?
I don't think it's the last.
Oh, okay.
So he literally needs one point to break it. So I like his chances, but I thought that needed to be pointed out because there's guys that get picked late in Q drafts, and you know some end up playing in the league and having success. You look at Jonathan Marchessault, who I think was a 12th round pick of the Ramparts. Now he's an absolute millionaire playing for the Vegas Golden Knights.
That Florida didn't want.
The Florida didn't want, right? Crazy. And then you get a player like Brody MacArthur, who, you know, again, late round draft pick of the Wildcats. Probably could have played in the queue if the Wildcats didn't have, you know, the depth. I don't know if you want to put it that way, depth.
Right.
But, he's gone on to have a ridiculous career in junior A, so I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a full ride to university, just for putting up the numbers he did. So really hope that he gets it. I think he does, considering he's averaging like 2.5 points a game his entire career. So, just wanted to recognize Brody MacArthur for his career in the Maritime Hockey League.
The Stick Tap of the Week, sponsored by Eric Murray Real Estate with the RE/MAX Avante team. If you're looking to buy or sell a home in the greater Moncton or surrounding area, make sure to check him out on social media or give him a call at 506-863-8802.
Want to play a fun game before we get to the Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week?
I like games. Quit playing games with my heart.
Well done. So that 2015 draft, I just went to look to see who else we got in. Do you remember a lot of the big name selections in the first five rounds? And now you can't open your computer because people can see it.
2015?
Yeah. When Brody MacArthur.
Brody MacArthur is a 15th. Is
13th.
He's a 20-year-old.
Yeah.
So you got to go Mika Seer.
Yep.
Jeremy
Second
McKenna.
Round. Yep. Fifth
Jonathan
round.
Aspero.
Fourth round.
Not Capinelli, no, because he was acquired in a trade.
The second, third round selection doesn't play here anymore.
The second, third round selection.
Yeah.
The second.
So we had a second round and two third rounds, or three third round picks.
Crosman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
And then we had two sixth round picks, and one of them, both of them were goalies. One of them played
Matty Waite.
Yeah.
And Jack Grant.
That's impressive.
Yeah. He also had a, I think that was the same draft. We took Alex Lavoie, Adam Daw, Kevin Gignat, Brendan MacArthur, Keith Prezzizzelli, Mike O'Leary.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There he is, third round. There's two more.
Doug Darnell.
Yeah, he was the 14th round selection, and then one more in the 11th.
Oh, God.
Defenseman.
Did he ever play?
By the way, folks, he's doing this without his laptop on the draft scenario.
Okay, there was another forward, Ethan DiStefani.
Yep.
Right? Another defenseman?
Yep. Doesn't I can't tell if he played
I
or
have
not.
To I have to look now.
Played for Seminare Saint-François.
Alex Lavoie.
No.
No.
No. He played for the Fredericton Caps.
Kevin Gignat.
Yeah.
I said him.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
My bad. My bad. All right, that's everyone.
Jeez.
I probably didn't have him on the screen when I was up at the top as you named him. That's rather impressive, dude.
Yeah.
I
know my team, man. Come on.
Yeah. That's like I know a lot of the guys that were drafted last year, but
2016, I could probably literally tell you every pick because that was the worst draft in Wildcats history. No offense, Jacob Hudson.
All right.
First pick, Noah Massey.
Yeah.
Jacob Hudson.
Yeah.
TJ Walsh.
Yeah.
Oh God. Oh no. Drawing a blank now. Sorry, I can't do this.
All right, no worries. but yeah, Derek DeCare. Logan Cash.
The worst draft in Wildcats history.
Chris Murphy, Clark Webster, Patrick Keegan.
Oh my God.
Alexander Vio.
Oh.
Or Villu. Samuel McGaugh, Tyler Castley, Jesus. Cameron Brudeau, Mike Higgins.
No. Oh God.
Dylan Massey. Ugh. Matt Templeton and Derek Pelche. Oh, we should probably move on, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Your Bump House Brewery Cat of the Week, Jordan Spence.
Rack
three,
it up.
In three games, he had a goal, two assists for 3 points. Moncton's was a different. Moncton had four games. We have three. More than that, I mean, he's taking his game to the next level again in this second half. He's so smart with the puck. He knows when to chip in offensively. He knows when to hold the line, when to get back. He was named not only Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week, but he was also named to this thing called the QMJHL Team of the Week, along with teammate Jeremy McKenna, as well as he was Sport PEI's Athlete of the Year. So your Pump House Brewery Cat of the Week is Jordan Spence. Thanks for tuning in to everyone in Instagram land. Thanks again for listening and downloading the show. We've had some good success with trivia in the last few home games. Everyone seems to enjoy it. So we want to give you a chance to see this hockey club more before the playoffs. So, Mr. Boucher, you said you had a trivia. So this trivia question is for the March 7th game against the Quebec Remparts. Next week, we'll have tickets for the March 8th game against Drummondville. So the March 7th game against Quebec Remparts. Jeremy, what is your question? Everyone who's watching,
please do not answer
the question. Do not answer this question. I guess I can look this way. Do not answer the question here. DM us, please. I mean, you guys know all the rules. So anyways, your question for game tickets to March 7th game.
Okay, so I realized that we've kind of gone a little easy with our questions. I'm going to try to make it a little tough here. So I want to know, three-part question. I want to know how many players have been picked in the first round of the NHL draft as a member of the Moncton Wildcats. So how many players? I also want to know who they are and what NHL teams they were drafted by. You give us a date there, a date and time to have the answers. When is it? When's the deadline?
We can go this Sunday. Sunday at 4 p.m.
Okay.
And I'll try and remember that it's Sunday 4 p.m., that holiday game.
By puck drop of the Rimouski game, have your answers.
So once again, the question for tickets to March 7th versus Quebec.
Again, the question is, so I want to know how many players have been drafted in the first round of the NHL draft as Moncton Wildcats. That's the thing. As Moncton Wildcats, who are they and what NHL team were they drafted by? Three-part question.
That should be fun. There you go. Again, don't forget as well, we're going to have tickets next week to give away for Drummondville. We might have tickets to give again, to give away against Cape Breton on March 11th. But if we don't, and or if you don't win, tickets are $10. Use the promo code WILDSTUDENT for that game. It could be the game that decides the division. So, you know, let's fill that building. Speaking of filling the building, we're just a month away from playoffs. They get started March 27th. You can get your playoff packages at all home games, in the intermissions and before the game, up at the playoff booth. Get them. Like, just get them. I don't know what to tell you. Like, let's fill that building. The team obviously gets energy when that building is full. As well, the awards. Just bringing it up here because it takes me a while. The awards are March 22nd at Casino NB. It will begin with an autograph session from 6 to 7 p.m., followed by the awards at 7 to 9. Admissions free for all season ticket holder with their tickets. And for other fans wishing to attend, it'll cost $5. For everyone out there that is a season ticket holder that does not want to go to the awards, we did this last year. It was kind of a big success. You know, we'll take your award tickets, and we will do draws to give them away. Again, thanks to everyone that joined us on the Instagram. Thanks to everyone that downloaded and listened. See you next Wednesday.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Follow us on social media at Moncton Wildcast.